Welcome to the Seeking Certainty podcast, where advice starts with your best interests in mind, helping you achieve more in your financial life. And now, here's your host, founder of the Certainty Advice Group, Jim Stackpool.
G'day everybody, Jim Stackpool here, founder of Certainty Advice Group, with another podcast in our Certainty series where we aim to help as many Australians listening to be as confident as possible about the financial paths they're taking, particularly in these times, most unprecedented times, we'd say, of COVID-19. There are advisors all over Australia follow this nation's first standard of advice, which we call Certainty Advice. Firstly, being comprehensive in the advice. We don't believe that the cure of a part of one's financial life should be treated without the looking after the whole. But secondly, ensuring that the only remuneration being paid is from the client in flat fees, dollar amounts. It's also double-checked against standards which we have tabled with the ACCC and Intellectual Property Australia. So regardless if you're seeing a Certainty Advisor in Manly, Melbourne or Mooloolaba, you will be receiving a consistent standard of advice for your own unique situation, unbiased in all ways, which is particularly important. COVID-19, no question, has turned everyone's life a little or a lot upside down. And our Certainty Advisors are finding that the current environment has reinforced, if anything, the aspirations are things that are important to more and more Australians as we've all come to behave and react at different times to how we've been locked down commercially, physically, and sometimes even mentally. The experts are everywhere predicting the consequences of this phase of our lives, and maybe we'll come out unscathed, but everyone, I think, will be changed in some way in the way we conduct and shop and move. But what's clear, though, is there's meaningful aspirations, and what are those meaningful aspirations for us? It's even a lot for a lot of us being reinforced, which is important because some of our financial behaviours may also change whether we like it or not as a consequence as the world and Australia and even small businesses and families get back on their feet physically, commercially, and mentally. So how to react? And that's the aim of this series. What are those steps forward beyond COVID-19? So I'm really, really lucky to have Samantha Albese and Scott Farmer from Bravium in downtown Braddon. It's a great inner suburb, which is, since I've known Braddon, it's attracting and increasing more and more art, theatre, offbeat cafes and bars, and really innovative little startup firms, in some ways like Bravium. Scott and Sam, they specialise in helping younger families, which is interesting considering the demographic that most people associate with financial planners being retirees. But Scott and Sam have really forged a deep niche with younger families and double income, no kids yet, and those with young children. But they also specialise in serving the government, military in particular, and small businesses around Canberra and beyond as well. But in this podcast, listen out specifically for some of Scott's thoughts on gaining advice or receiving advice if your advisor has fees that are dependent upon primarily how much superannuation you have or how much insurance you have or how big your mortgage is. Just listen to Scott's thoughts on that. And also listen out for Sam's views, where she states quite clearly that she doesn't think COVID-19 is as much as a game changer as other things. But I started out by asking, how are Bravium's clients reacting and coping in these very different times?
For the most part, they are fairly calm and collected, to be honest. They seem to be managing the situation fairly effectively. In Canberra, we're probably a little bit lucky because we have a significant number of clients related to the defence industry or to the public service. And so, you know, they have a lot of employment security. So we don't tend to have too many clients, I guess, that have gone through any significant loss of income that then might cascade into other parts of their financial position. With that, obviously a lot more people working from home, but for the most part, they seem to be managing that well. And, you know, we spend a lot of time with our clients talking about how wealth creation and investment markets work and income and capital growth so that we have them well prepared because we know we're going to get an event that will cause significant market disruption. We like for them to understand what that means for them individually and to understand, I guess, the risks and the outcomes. So COVID-19 obviously came along, disrupted markets significantly, and we can kind of go back to those conversations we've had in the past.
And Bravium, you go deeper than obviously the investment markets and the cash flows, and your clients in some ways would be fundamentally comfortable with the products and the procedures and the strategies you're taking. But I also sense that what you provide your clients specifically is a lot more from that in terms of managing other aspects of their financial lives that need managing, not just simply their money.
Absolutely. And you know, ultimately, a lot of the comfort I think the clients take in situations like this is us being able to talk about, you know, when if we're doing something like cash flow management or investment management, it's not just for the sake of, you know, that particular strategy. It has an end goal or an outcome that we're seeking. And for a client, that might be something about caring for their children or providing them with some sort of flexibility around working part time in the future or something to do with accommodation. So there's an outcome that they're looking for that's important for them. And so it's about bringing back the current situation to what's the impact on those longer term aspirations. So
So Sam, how often do you find that, you know, clients may be quite clear on the things they want to achieve for their children or their jobs or their own career, but then you find in the implementation work you're actually managing them back to some of these aspirations they've spoken to you about, and in some ways they're managing their behaviors to remind them, because their behaviours may not be wide or as aligned as they need to be regarding to sticking to a plan. Do you ever find that sometimes they're working against themselves?
Absolutely. I think at times clients can be their own worst enemies, but that's where we step in, really, and that's why we have a role in our clients' lives. We are very upfront with our clients and we talk to our clients about, you know, we're here to provide all forms of advice. You know, we'll have the hard conversations with you and we'll tell you things that you may not want to hear. And that's really important because we're having open and honest conversations with our clients. Cash flow budgeting is a really great example. We'll identify, you know, possibly spending habits that the client may not be aware of or may not want to face, but those are things that we can easily identify for the client and then bring them back to explaining to the client, you know, these types of things may need to change, but if you don't change them, it really reduces the probability of you being able to achieve outcomes that you're after.
So Sam or Scott, is anyone listening to this, what's an example that they could relate to potentially of a hard conversation you've had to have with clients to ensure that, well, you're doing the job they're paying you to, and it's also in some ways challenging some of the behaviours they've had?
We've had a client where I guess they've come in with a fairly significant set of complex aspirations, I guess you'd call them, many of which were probably difficult to achieve in conjunction with each other. So there was a real need to kind of prioritise certainly the timing of achieving some of the outcomes that they were after. In some ways, sometimes clients know enough information to be dangerous to themselves. And so, you know, we kind of had to bring the client back and step away from some of the things that they were talking about, almost developing their own strategies and outcomes. And a lot of that was really a misunderstanding on their behalf of how some of those things work, whether it was structures or taxation or whatever. So the advice that we subsequently gave that client perhaps was not necessarily what they were expecting, but once we delivered that to them, they could really see how that advice was working towards the outcomes they wanted and how it kind of met the brief, I guess, in delivering what they needed. But it was certainly a long way from where they were sort of guiding the advice almost themselves in the initial.
And what do you think that's common, that people are sort of DIYing this themselves and coming to the table with a collection of tools or beliefs that they've picked up elsewhere, and then you're having to sort of declutter them a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. It's reasonably common. I mean, probably the most common area is to do with property. So we might get a client come in and say, look, I've just bought two properties and I own five more and I want you to tell me how I can buy another five. You know, they're very focused on the strategy. And ultimately, I guess, you know, we want to talk about behaviours and outcomes and aspirations that they're looking to achieve. And buying a property itself is not really an aspiration. Buying a property is a means to an end. Well, if you buy a property and you make money off that, what does that mean for your future self? You know, does that allow you to do something that you can't do today?
And if those property-seeking clients come back afterwards and said, it wasn't until that conversation I was confusing the sort of goal, the end goal, with actually the means to get there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And in many ways, you know, maybe the industry itself is partly to blame because we have a history of talking about product and strategy as kind of the be-all end-all of the financial planning relationship, whereas it's not at all. And for clients, the strategy is actually not the reason they've come in to see you. Typically, the clients that we're seeing are there because they're facing some difficult decision around how to achieve a lifestyle outcome, perhaps, or how to change behaviours that they can identify as standing in their way of more success. Particularly the clients, you know, that you'd probably describe as Gen Y clients or even millennials, they tend to be very aspirational, but they also understand the reality of the challenge in being able to meet those aspirations. And it's almost like every generation is more aspirational than the one that came before it. And so they have already identified the need to really plan carefully if they want to make that happen and make it a reality.
And just going back to your point there, Scott, that it seems like even you're saying that the clients seem to be picking up the bad habits of the industry if the industry's been toting about property or self-managed super funds or a particular strategy as the solution, as compared to, you know, they're just tools to actually achieve other things. And so where do people listening to this go to get, if it's re-educated is the right word, I'm not sure, that don't confuse the tool with the end game?
Yeah, so I guess it's a matter of finding the right financial advisor or have the right discussion with the client, in effect. And those clients, whilst some of them might come in wanting to talk about strategy or property or you know, the share market, they have those underlying aspirations. Everybody, when you drill down and scratch the surface, has these aspirations there. So as soon as you can guide them to that discussion, that comes out fairly easily, typically. But yeah, as a client, look, at the end of the day, the challenge is finding a financial advisor who will have the right discussion with them and will ask the right questions to get that sort of information. You know, in many ways, we see how a financial planner is paid as a good indication as to the nature of the relationship that a client is likely to have. If a financial planner is going to be paid via some kind of percentage of the sale of product, it's far less likely that the discussions that they'll be having will be focused on a client's aspirations.
So just to repeat that back then, if you know, we do hear that a lot of advisors today are ringing clients and reassuring them during these times that they will pass, the markets will come back again. But if the reassurance is coming from someone who gets either a flat fee or a percentage based upon how much product or property or assets under management, in some ways that's reinforcing the old game, that helping clients just to refocus again on probably the means by which they're accumulating wealth as compared to the end game, and then reasserting is that the right means? So the reassurance that might be going on is simply just embedding their thinking even further that the solution is the property or the super fund. Is that a fair comment?
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
And Sam, from the clients that you've seen, do you see advice, people approaching advice differently in the months and years to come?
Oh, I think advice is changing in general. I don't think that may necessarily be because of the pandemic itself, the market fallout. That may be a trigger for some people who are not receiving appropriate financial advice that is appropriate for their circumstances or in line with any form of aspirations or goals that they have. That may be a trigger for them to seek financial advisors that do provide that type of advice, just like the Royal Commission has been a trigger for people to seek new advisors. So I do think that there is a possibility out of the pandemic that we will see people move financial advisors. It's a possibility, absolutely.
Okay, so there's a momentum going on that pandemic will simply add to, and it sounds like the clients are coming into Bravium. They're sitting down very receptive to a broader conversation about their best interests, but it still sounds like initially they're coming in and sitting down, as you say, Scott, about the property or the super fund or the structure, and then you're turning them around. Is that a fair comment?
So certainly we get some clients who are there for the discussion around, aspirations, outcomes, behaviours, and solutions to that. But there is another percentage of clients that are coming to talk about strategy or product. You know, in many ways, it's probably our younger clients that are ready for the discussion that we want to have with them because of just how aspirational they are. And they spend a lot of time thinking about how they want to live their lives. And perhaps in many ways, they don't want to repeat the lives of their parents. They want more than previous generations.
And which element of their parents' life don't they want to repeat from a financial perspective?
Well, I think, in part it would certainly be their careers. I think one of the common themes we hear is that people don't want to work because they have to work forever. They want to have more control over how they spend their days in the future, but they understand they need to have the right financial position in order to facilitate that outcome. Things like time with family are more important. And I think when you think about COVID-19 and the impact on advice, I think one of the things that may change in the future because of the social change we're going through at the moment. And so, for example, many young families are spending more time together, and there is some change to the way people are looking at travel, where they might travel or how they might travel. So I do think that clients may revisit the things that are important to them in the future and how they may want to, I guess, live their lives, which will have an impact for us.
There you have it, Scott Farmer and Samantha Albiz from Bravium in Canberra. What's your takeaway from that? I had really three clear things for me. And the first is, in these times of pandemic, coming out of these times and getting the right financial footing, Scott talked about the confusion where clients are still confusing means and ends in their conversations about financial advice. Of course, for Bravium, it's quite clear, advice isn't about the product, but what has to be achieved and the best means of getting there, whether in fact a product is necessary. So products are secondary or tertiary to that, and definitely should never have any inclination or attached to the remuneration, because that would then affect the advice, wouldn't it? And it makes sense. He also pointed out that clients are still being heavily influenced by the noise and the marketing from product providers. That's been going on for years. And they're walking into these meetings with Sam and Scott with full of that debris and still confusing the conversation to be about the means by which, rather than Sam and Scott's view, it was about what's the ends. That's the first thing. The second thing, they focus on obviously their success and enjoyment of working with the younger clients who tend to be more aspirational, and not only more aspirational and less product-driven, but in their pursuit of greater control over their lifestyles and a career that they don't want to or can follow that their parents followed, that makes them much more aspirational for them and their families and the causes that they're working for. And thirdly, Sam pointed out right up front, you may have heard, that in regards to achieving things that are significant for us all, sometimes our own worst enemies are ourselves, which forces, as Sam was saying, not a highlight, but a key ingredient of some of the conversations Bravium are having with their clients, the harder conversations where behaviours and old mindsets and paradigms won't help with what is the selecting and travelling over that path that helps people to achieve the things that are meaningful for them. But it sounds like these hard conversations are quite fruitful for Bravium's clients. So there you have it. So in these times, as Scott was saying, people can confuse the value as being acquired. Let's go and buy that property or buy the means, as compared to making sure we sit back a bit and be a tad more circumspect to ensure the steps are not as important as what the value is the steps are trying to achieve. And this is where they come back to their conversation about what do we have to get around and what do we have to attain towards. It's important to them every year. And as they also say, our job is to help by these podcasts and others to help more and more Australians find advisors that are unconflicted, like Bravium, who adhere to the highest and only professional standard yet still in Australia. It's been lodged with the ACCC and IP Australia, ensuring there's no real or perceived conflict and the value is all about what the client values. So thank you, Sam. And thank you, Scott, from Bravium Canberra in Braddon, a great advisory firm and building a great brand in that town. I'd love to get your feedback on this. Jim Stackpole signing out. Take care with those steps we make in these unprecedented of times. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to the Seeking Certainty podcast with Jim Stackpole. To access all the materials from today's show or to join in the conversation, head on over to seekingcertainty.com. Please let us know what you think. We'd love to hear your feedback. Seekingcertainty.com.